to review your devotional life. Hello, Malcolm here. Welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. This is episode 257. Now, this podcast is going live on Christmas Eve, and the principles could be used on any occasion, what we're going to be talking about today, but there are times to take stock of the bigger picture over a longer period of time. The story is told of a teacher passed over for promotion year after year. Finally, she confronted her line manager and asked, "I've been teaching for 25 years and never been promoted. I have 2.5 decades of experience. I deserve to be promoted." Her manager replied, "You don't have 25 years of experience. You have 1 year of experience repeated 25 times. You see, just because we pray week by week or year by year, that doesn't mean we are drawing closer to the heart of our Heavenly Father. Simply because we read our Bible does not mean we are becoming more secure in the love of Christ. Just because we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs does not mean that we are more in touch with the presence and power of the Spirit. So my intention with this podcast is not to laden us with guilt or fear, but instead my hope is that we will find that an honest assessment of our devotional life will be a liberating and joyous practice. So join me today as we consider a healthy way to assess the quality of our devotional life. Now, we should begin by making sure we understand what we're talking about. By devotional life, I'm talking about our focused times of connection with God, what we often call our quiet times. Those moments, you know, when we stop to pray, read God's word, or simply rest in silence in His loving presence. Can we grow in our relationship with God? The Apostle Peter seemed to think so. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in the grace and grow in the knowledge. It's hard to imagine that the apostles didn't get to know Jesus better and better during their 3 years with Him. And even after His departure, it seems that they continued to grow. I mean, compare the firebrand Apostle John in his youth with the one who wrote his epistles towards the end of his life. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 54, when the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" And Jesus corrects them at that point, but then later on in his old age, John writes his epistle, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." And the more that you look at those epistles, the more you realize love came to be the most significant thing for John. So, how do we approach this? Let's consider an ancient practice and how it might help us in this instance. I'm talking about the examine. The examine. What is this thing? I'm not sure of its precise origins. I'm not sure if they can be actually traced, but it was apparently popularized by Ignatius of Loyola in the 1500s. And the concept, briefly, is to take some focused time to consider what has been going on, what is going on, and what God has been doing, and finding refreshment to go forward. So it's a time of soberness and reflection that takes us then into a place where we can move on and move forward with a better understanding of what God has been doing. An example that comes to mind might be Elijah in 1 Kings 19, verses 3 to 19. And we haven't got time to unpack that now, but might like to look at that. After his great victory on the mountain, he runs away from Jezebel. God feeds him, takes him to the mountain. He goes into the cave. And in that cave, on that occasion, God gave him, Elijah, the opportunity for what you might call an examine whilst he was there. And it refreshed him and inspired him. Have a look at that passage. Might be a good one to have as a devotional time to accompany what we're talking about here. That's 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 to 19. Now, the examine can be used on a daily basis and is by many people. But here we're going to use it not to think about a day, but to think about the year. the whole of the last year, 2020, at this time of recording. So to do this properly, I have some recommendations. I'd recommend that you set aside at least an hour, preferably more. Find a place where you won't be disturbed by the dog, the children, or the phone, or whoever. Turn off your phone, in fact. Get rid of all the gadgets which might try to steal your attention. And take something with you to write down your thoughts, preferably pen and paper rather than something electronic, because I don't know about you, but as soon as I open up the laptop, well, there's Facebook to check, there's emails to check, and all kinds of things. So pen and paper is your best bet, I would say. Let those close to you, your friends or your family, know that you're not to be disturbed. And you'll probably find it helpful to have your diary to hand to remind you of the events of your year. So if you've got that sorted out, get some time, put the gadgets away, pen and paper, get your diary ready. Once you're ready with all that, go through this four-step process. The examine has more, classic one, has more steps, but these four I've taken from Pete Gregg's book on prayer called How to Pray and his version of the examine. So here we are, four steps, all beginning with R. Number one, replay. Replay your year in your mind as you sit there with God, pray and try to think through, try to bring back to mind the highs and lows of your devotional life in 2020. What are the highs and what are the lows? You know, those times of delightful prayer and those times of dryness, the moments of lament and the moments of laughter. Ask yourself this year, where did God show up? Where and when was his imminence part of your experience? In his book on prayer that I've talked about, Pete Gregg put it like this, quoting a Jesuit, he said, it's like rummaging for God, going through a drawer full of stuff, feeling around, looking for something that you are sure must be there. And so that's what we're doing. We're rummaging around through our year looking for evidence of God. What resources made a significant difference to the quality of your times of quiet this year? Was it the Bible that you were reading? Perhaps a new translation you'd not used before? How about a devotional app? Or praying with friends or family? Listening to a Bible podcast, perhaps? Reading books about spiritual disciplines? Dare I even say, maybe listening to this podcast? I don't know, but what's made a difference, a positive difference, as you go back through this year and think, what's made the difference this year to me having better, deeper, more meaningful times of quiet with God? So write down everything you can remember, which gives you a good picture of the good times with God. So that's number one. Step one, replay. Step number two is rejoice. Rejoice. Perhaps God surprised you this year. Was there a prayer he answered that you weren't expecting? Did you find something working out about which you had your doubts? Did you find the courage to act with faith when you were concerned you might give in to fear? Try to remember all the gifts God gave you this year. Make a list of the things, large and small, with which God blessed you in the last 12 months. Some of those blessings, of course, might have come in disguise. Don't forget that God is with us in our fears and our sins and our doubts and all the painful experiences. He's there with us. I think of Jonah's prayer. Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish is one of the most wonderful expressions of rejoicing in one of the worst places imaginable. Again, you might like to use this for a support of your devotional time, reading Jonah chapter 2. I'll just quote two verses from Jonah 2, verses 6 and 9. He says, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. So there's Jonah in the stinky, smelly belly of a fish, having been thrown off a ship, running away from God, and finding it possible to rejoice. We do have reasons to rejoice. Write down, step two, write down all the reasons to rejoice that God has given you this year. This is where you might need your diary. So step one, replay. Step two, rejoice. Step three, repent. Step three, repent. Now, you probably knew we were going to get to the repent phase at some point. But before we get into it, let me ask, are you afraid of it? Does it give you a nervous twitch? I'll confess, it does for me from time to time. When I hear repentance preached or spoken of to me, it does give me a bit of a funny turn spiritually sometimes. I think it's partly to do with my upbringing. It's partly to do with my personality. And it's partly, frankly, some experiences that I've had in church life. But I need to remember myself, and I think it's helpful for us all to do this, to remember something that's very significant. You see, God made me capable of repentance because it was something that would do me good. And God has made you capable of repentance. In fact, given you the privilege of repentance because it was something that would do you good. Remember Acts 3, 19 to 20? Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. See, God does not consider repentance negative. It's not the way to somehow re-endear ourselves to him. Once again, we don't pay any debts by repenting. Those debts have already been paid by Jesus. What we do by considering our need to repent, noticing areas for repentance and taking action on them by the power and strength of the Spirit of Christ in us, what we do is to reconnect with the heart of God. That's why repentance is a privilege. So take some time to consider your failings this year. And by failings, I mean not living up to the virtuous, Christ-like character that you had hoped for, in the ways that you had planned and hoped for, that you would desire. Not standards imposed by somebody else, but a lifestyle that, at your best, you wholeheartedly wish to embrace. Write down anything God reveals to you that you would do well to consider turning away from as you turn towards him. Point one, replay. Point two, rejoice. Point three, repent. And finally, point four, phase four, reboot. Reboot. So we're in the final phase of the examine here. So review the first three phases. Go back through those. What are the main lessons from replaying your devotional year? What's on your rejoicing list? Where is the room for repentance? So go back through those first. And now that you have those things clear, get them clear. Spend time in prayer, thinking about it, asking God to make things clear. Once you've got that clear, then it's time to consider the future. Contemplate the year ahead. What is it that you sense God drawing you towards in your relationship with him? Could it be a renewed commitment to intercession in prayer, for example? Perhaps it's an emphasis on silence and solitude, resting in his presence. How about a focus on the Psalms for your spiritual inspiration? Is the Spirit bringing certain parts of the Bible into prominence in your mind and your heart? Perhaps he's suggesting you study a particular biblical book, a topic, a character from the Scriptures. What is it? What is it that God is drawing your attention to? Now, this list, of course, is potentially endless, which is why it's so important to set aside enough time to pray and think and talk with our Abba, with our Father about it, so that we can talk it over with him, and we pray and hope that things will become clearer. And if not right there and then, at least write down some ideas, and then you can go back and refine them in prayer, talking them over with God later on in the day, the next day between now and the end of the year, or whenever you need to continue to until you find something settles into your spirit. Write down anything which crosses your mind, even if it seems ridiculous. You can always refine it later. Well, those are our four steps. So a final word on this process. I think it's important to remember that there's no correct way to do the examine, really. So please don't stress yourself if you find it difficult or even unhelpful in some way. It's simply a tool. So adapt it to your own use. Change the order, put some extra things in there, change the emphasis if you want. Just adapt it. Use the principles that mean the most to you and that you find useful. So our goal here, what's our goal? What are we trying to achieve? Our goal here is simply some sober judgment, sober assessment of the last 12 months, inviting God to give us wisdom about our present state, the present state of our relationship with him, our connection with him, and filling us with faith, we pray. We ask him for that for the coming year. And not just that God will do things and it'll be exciting and awesome and whatever, but more that God will fill us with the faith to believe that we can walk with him, that we can walk in his presence, knowing of his presence, being aware of his presence, and enjoying the companionship expressed to us through his love. So, do you have your own annual devotional practice which helps you to do the kind of things we're talking about here, thinking about the year behind, just gone, and thinking about the year ahead? If you have a practice that is helpful for you, please do let me know. And if you try this particular examine, these four phases, please let me know how it goes. Good or bad, at least we'll learn from each other. So please add your comments to this week's topic, and we learn best when we learn in community. And if you've got any questions about this or anything else about the Bible, theological, technical, practical, then let me know. Send me your questions or suggestions. You can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. And you can leave a message wherever you find this podcast, or you can leave it also on my website, which is malcolmcox.org. You can leave me a message there, a voicemail or a text message or something like that. And if you do know somebody who might benefit from this, please pass the link on. If you haven't already done so, you might like to subscribe to my newsletter. You'll find it available for signing up in the on my website on the front page. And if you do so, I will send you a free ebook about spiritual disciplines. Well, that's it. Next week, we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about Abraham, in fact, as we begin a new series, a daily series on Abraham entitled Adventures in Faith with Abraham. And that will take us from the end of December through to January and the end of February. So pray for me as I prepare those in the next few days. Many thanks for being with me. Many thanks for your prayers. Many thanks for your encouragement. I do pray and hope that as you look back over the year, you will see clear evidence of God's presence with you, his love for you, his companionship, and that he is looking forward to next year, walking through next year with you. Until the next time, take care. And God bless.